Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. Here with your hosts, Jacob Smedley,
Justin Rehan,
Peter Romanante,
and Nathan Romanoff.
With today's special guests,
Owen Boyle,
and two returning guests,
Joseph Rinaldi
and Cameron Whitney.
Today's topics include: the NBA playoffs are in full swing. We'll break down the surprising series, the teams we think could go all the way, and much more. The NFL draft is a few days away. We'll break down the top 10 picks and some favorite picks we have as well. And to wrap it up, the Premier League, some big matchups across the pond. We'll have the very latest for you. Now here's... Wait, Sam's not here. What? Guys, what is going on? I guess I'll have to take the lead on this one. The NBA playoffs are in full swing. Got some great series so far. Guys, I mean, what are we thinking about the NBA playoffs? We'll start broad and we'll work to some individual series so far. Peter's raising his hand. Peter, what do you think of the Eastern Western Conference? What are you thinking of it all so far?
Here's the thing. I just started to get into basketball myself. I haven't been watching it too crazy much. Over the last couple of years, I've been just starting, so I don't know all the teams very well. I don't know all the players very well. But I do know, for a fact, Joel Embiid definitely deserves the MVP, the way he's been dropping points in games. You know, I think that, just speaking on Philadelphia terms, the 76ers have been playing very well overall as a team. James Harden did have that period where he was slacking off a little bit. He wasn't playing up to his potential. But in all honesty, I think that the Sixers have proven to be a really dominant team so far in this playoffs.
Yeah, I think of course, looking at the 76ers, we can start there. The 76ers and the Toronto Raptors presently of recording this video. Sixers up 3-1. Raptors getting a win at home in game 4. The series shifts back to Philadelphia for game number 5. Of course, you mentioned Joel Embiid dealing with a ligament tear in his thumb. He's going to play through it the rest of the playoffs. He's been a huge factor, hitting the game-winning shot in game 3. Toss it over to Owen. Owen, what are you thinking? What are you thinking, I guess, keeping it with this series, Sixers and Raptors so far?
Yeah, credit to the Sixers for letting the Raptors think they have a shot, giving them game 4 there. I'm not too worried about Joel. I think he's been dealing with this for longer than we all expect. I think John Kincaid from 97.5 tweeted out that he's noticed Joel been messing with his hand for a lot longer than just the playoffs. So I think this is something that he's been dealing with for a while. And the fact that he put up 33 points in game 3, including that game-winning shot with the torn ligament, it's insane. I know he didn't have a great game 4, but nobody on the Sixers really had a great game 4. So I'm not too worried. We'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be the Heat who they play in the next series. Hopefully they don't blow it. I don't want to speak too soon, but I don't think they will. But I've liked what I've seen so far. Tyrese, James, even Shake Milton's played some good minutes. Danny Green's picked up some big three-pointers. They'll get Matisse back in game 5 for some defense. So I'm not too worried about Joel. I'm not too worried about the Sixers. Just kind of focused on round 2 already, honestly.
Yeah, and you look, of course, you know, Sixers up 3-1. And, you know, I guess one of the other big storylines of this series has been the foul calls. Both sides, the Raptors, Nick Nurse, his comments recently, Pascal Siakam with his, Joel's not a tough guy. So definitely, you know, As Owen mentioned it, this one, you know, 3-1 right now. Sixers looking to close it out on Monday. Podcasts probably be released after the fifth game, so it might be on to the second round. But moving on to another Eastern Conference series that I think has piqued a lot of interest. 2-7 matchup, the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. So much love for a specific guard that's dressing up on the bench for the Nets. I mean, you know, can't miss him right now, except, you know, maybe on the court. But Nets, Celtics, one game away from sweeping the Brooklyn Nets. I guess the first question, guys, is, did any of you think that it would be this dominant for the Celtics? And, you know, I guess, do you think that they can sweep?
I say they have the shot of sweeping. I don't want to ever give a guarantee because, you know, basketball, like any other sport, it's very unpredictable. You can't, unless it's like one of those matchups where you're just talking about a winless team against an undefeated team or something like that, you know. All games, all sports, whether especially in the playoffs, come down to the game day and how the players are performing through every single minute of every single of quarter and half. So, although I think the Celtics do sweep, I think that the Nets have a shot at winning one. I don't say they do. I'm surprised, though. I thought it would be a little bit more of a tougher fight for the Celtics. But, you know, I don't know. I think that it's, hey, kudos to the Celtics. Kudos to them playing hard to the way they're playing. And Brooklyn, hey, if you want a shot, you got to start winning.
Yeah, and I think one of the most notable things so far this series has been the play of Kevin Durant. I think it really has stood out. He's struggling in each and every game. Boston throwing so many different looks at him. Double teams, you know, just a single team forcing turnovers out of him. Hasn't looked himself. Kyrie Irving had that great game in game one, but the help for them and the defense. They've been exposed defensively by Tatum, by Brown. Of course, you know that talent is going to break through, but it's been the supporting guys as well. Robert Williams coming back for game three, and you have the other guys like Derek White and Peyton Pritchard off the bench. Really, really helping out that squad. Marcus Smart always giving a scrappy play. So I think the depth for the Celtics has really showed in comparison, and their team defense, which I think many people, you know, didn't, especially early on in the season, didn't really think of them for, and really have turned it on.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the series, I think we all knew the Celtics, you know, their defense really defined them over the course, especially the back half of the season. And having a guy like Marcus Smart, you know, who just won Defensive Player of the Year, they've been able to lock up KD, like, as you said, Jake. They're throwing different looks at him every game. They're always getting multiple hands in his face, contesting every shot. He has not been himself. He's not hitting his shots. Kyrie, you know, outside of game one, has been, you know, not himself either. He really has struggled as well in the series. And obviously, when you look at that roster, if those two aren't producing, then that team, they can't win. They need their stars to produce for them in order to win. And they're not built. They don't have the depth that the Celtics have. They don't have the team. I feel like the team chemistry that the Celtics have, and I feel like they're being outcoached too. I don't, you know, Steve Nash is first year head coach, but or second year head coach, but I just don't feel that he's done a great job. I mean, I just don't see how, if they end up getting swept, he keeps his job, and I really think it reflects poorly on Brooklyn if they do end up getting swept.
Yeah, and I think that's a big key too. Like you said, Nate, that fact that the Celtics defense has been applying so much pressure to those stars, and I think not only is it physically taxing for the Nets, it's mental too. Like if you're showing so much faltering in your stars, like KD is a huge star, Irving, you know, all these guys, if you're showing so much faltering in your star players who are big name players, that's not only mentally getting to them and then they're missing simple shots, they're not playing like themselves, that gets to the whole team. And I think that gets to the coaches. I think it's like a trickle down effect, you know, it affects the stars, it affects their team, and then it affects down the whole coaching, and it just becomes a frustration. And a lot of us are athletes, and we all know when a frustrated team is trying to play, you don't play as well as you do when you're focused, and when you're putting back the frustration behind you and just playing the game for the game.
Yeah, totally agree with that sentiment. Of course, you know, Nate mentioned the depth, and you know, KD and Kyrie, as you mentioned, Peter. I think it really affects the other guys when they, you know, see those guys not making shots. You know, I think it affects the whole team. I guess moving back, of course, looking at this series as a whole, Celtics on the verge of getting this series one way or another, needing just one more win. But of course, looking at the Celtics' dominance against, you know, a team that many, even as a low seed, picked to go deep into the playoffs, at least, of course, the national media, of course. But looking so far, Owen mentioned the Heat and the Hawks series, that one probably the closest, at least, of the series so far. Bucks and Bulls the other one, with the Bucks taking a 3-1 lead. More of a broad question before moving on to the Western Conference series. Which team right now has looked the most formidable out of the Eastern Conference based on these four series in your eyes?
Sixers or Celtics? It's hard to say. Celtics have that huge defensive advantage that has kept them winning against the Nets. But at the same time, I mean, I'm seeing points drop from the Sixers that when I first started getting into basketball, I barely even saw, especially in the beginning of the season. I didn't see Embiid hit many threes, and now he's saving games in overtime with threes. And, you know, these younger guys, these younger starters who are just getting their first or second ever starts for like a full season or even this part of the season, they've been producing, and they've been putting in their names out and saying, hey, look at me, here I am, and this is who I am. Like, I mean, for the Sixers' offensive advantage, I think that's huge. And I think that if the Sixers could tighten up a little bit more defensively, I think that that was proven against the Raptors this past game. The defense faltered a little bit, but, you know, it was an overall struggle. But I think that if we tighten up our loose ends, I think that the Sixers could really be that one standout team this playoff season.
Cam's shaking his hand. Cam, take the floor, man.
Yeah, okay. So I think the best Eastern Conference team, in my opinion, is going to be the Bucks. They've been playing very well. They're still a very solid team. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I love that. And his brother, actually, is playing very well right now, too. I think that team is just the dominant force all around. They have a lot of depth on that team, and I think they're going to make a pretty good run. Yeah, that's just who I think is the best in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, a very, you know, reigning champions. Nate, Owen, any picks in the Eastern Conference right now?
I'll take it. I think the Sixers, they look decent. The Celtics look pretty darn good. Bucks, they had that little hiccup in game two, but they're the Bucks. They have one of the best players in the NBA and a lot of really good, talented experience outside of him, Giannis being him. So it's really a toss-up between Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics. But I'd probably lean towards the Bucks as well, just because the Celtics, they don't have the experience. They've got a lot of young pieces, and Robert Williams has some injury issues going on right now. I know they've done some of their winning without him, but still, the Bucks have that experience. I think whoever wins the championship is going to come out of the Western Conference anyway.
I'll just throw in real quickly. All those teams, I think, honestly, in the East have a shot. But when you look at it, it's undeniable that the Celtics have played the best, I think, thus far in the playoffs. And just, you know, the Bucks, I love the Bucks, defending champions, but Chris Middleton did sustain an injury. He's not playing. I think they said maybe 2 weeks. So, you know, if they go in to that second round series against Boston,
as of right now,
which I think we all presume as of this point in time is going to happen. You know, if he misses those first few games, that could really be detrimental to the Bucks, I think, and really beneficial for the Celtics. Middleton is essentially their second best player on the team. So I'm leaning Celtics. The Sixers, I love them, but Joel Embiid, as you said, he's got a slight injury issue. I don't think it's that big a deal, but I'm still James Harden. He hasn't really shown me anything yet in these playoffs, and just I don't know. I'm just waiting for him to, you know, hit a switch or turn it on. But I think
that
he could,
James Harden, to come back.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if he will. So I just don't know if he will. But I'd go Bucks or Celtics at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, I think great picks all around. Of course, one team we didn't mention. No love to the Heat, and you know I agree. You know, I think there's getting slept on, but rightfully so. Of course, you've got the Jimmy Butler led Miami Heat. Of course, they've got the good young players with Hero and such. But you know, they're in a battle right now with the Hawks, and you know, when you match them up so far against the Celtics and the Bucks, you give those other teams the edge, maybe just because of the more superstar power and depth that they have. I think I'm on the, at least of right now, the Celtics train in terms of the best team to come out. But again, as all of you mentioned, you know, Sixers right there, Bucks right there as well. Moving over to the Western Conference, no Owen mentioned his possible champion out there, going to win it. Some great series so far. I know just today the Nuggets and the Warriors, the Nuggets, the runner-up to the MVP, in my opinion, Nikola Jokic, and the Nuggets getting the win in Game 4. You've got some other great series like the Mavericks and the Jazz, and you've got the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies. Any series really stand out to you guys so far in the Western Conference?
I wouldn't say necessarily stand out, but like you mentioned, the Warriors series. Tight race. Everyone knows the Warriors. It's Steph Curry. He's always dropping dimes anywhere from the stadium. But I think that, I do think that the Warriors have a little more to be afraid of than they're portraying with the situation that they're in. Although, I mean, I'm not saying worried to the point where they're in hot water, but
they're up 3-1. I mean, Steph Curry just dropped like 37 points today.
I'm not saying just this round. I'm saying in total. Okay. I'm saying in total.
Warriors are making the finals. I'm saying that right now. And here's why. You know, Jordan Poole, he's a beast. Stephen Curry is a beast. Klay Thompson is a beast. They're all playing. Those three right now are.
Is anyone not a beast, Cam? Level. You mentioned three guys right there. Is anyone not a beast?
I'm just saying, though. They also have a lot of like good players on that team. They have a good defensive player. They have also Gary Payton coming off. Yeah, he's coming off the bench. He plays really well defense. You know, they have Looney. He plays very well. Just that whole team in general is just a very good team. And I think I'm sad they didn't sweep the Nuggets. I may be a Warrior bandwagon, but I mean... I just think they're going to be a really good team, and seeing them all play, they're very phenomenal.
Yeah, by no means am I saying they're not a threat. I'm just saying be mindful of how you're playing with, like Cam said, how many dominant players you have, because you can have the most dominant team in the world, but any upset is any upset, and once you're out, you're out. So
I mean, they almost swept Peter, though, today. Like, they're up 3-1. I don't think they have to worry about this series.
No, I'm not saying right now. I'm saying for the future rounds.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think you know, they're definitely, you know, three seed right now, I believe. Yeah, three seed. You know, they're doing their thing. They have the talent, probably one of, if not the most talented teams in the league and in the Western Conference. A series that I'm really, really intrigued at. We've got the Eastern Conference 2-7 series, but the 2-7 series in the Western Conference probably been more entertaining and more exciting than the Eastern Conference one. The Memphis Grizzlies, who, you know, haven't made the playoffs in so long. They, you know, the whole national media going crazy about them having a celebration. It was on the point of them going to have a float in the arena. It was going with the whole celebration winning the play-in, but they've played very well so far against the Grizzlies and Ja Morant, who win the second seed with all of their great young players. Guys, this could go the full seven, perhaps. Who are we picking right now? It's 2-2. This is a real good one.
I think it is going to go to full seven. It's playoff Ja Morant's a beast, and so is playoff Cat. They're both very very talented players.
I like how you're using playoff Cat. He's really first time in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, you know, I've seen. Oh yeah, you're right. But I'm saying like he's just Karl Anthony Towns. So you know he's doing his thing. I like the defense the Timberwolves are giving a lot.
I do think it's gonna go all seven, but I do like a good underdog story. So hey, why not give Memphis the benefit of the doubt? Let's have the Grizzlies win the series. Let them have their fun.
I know you mentioned Peter. You're getting into the NBA, but let me. Memphis is the favorite. Memphis, I guess, they're the two seed. Minnesota's the seven seed.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, it's okay.
Just a it's clear. Yeah. Like, no. Hey. No. I think Memphis. I think they turn it on. In the next two, I think they could take the next two. It could go seven. I hope it goes seven. I think Memphis in six right now. I think they really, really turn it on in the next two games and pull it out. Nate Owen, any thoughts on this series before we maybe take a broader lens at things in the West?
Yeah, I'd love this to go seven. And I'll pick the Timberwolves. How about that? I think every series so far, like, all the favorites are going to win. I mean, you have the Heat over the Hawks, who are up 3-1 now. I think they just won the game. Sixers up 3-1 over the Raptors. Celtics up 3 over the Nets. Same thing in the West. But to see a close series like this with an underdog, Minnesota, very good defense, more experience, more depth. I'll take Minnesota in seven here.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's. I think it'll go seven games, like you all have said. I'm still leaning towards the Grizzlies. You know, they're a great young team, really, you know, with rising stars on their roster. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, shout out, you know, playing lights out. He can shoot that. He can shoot the ball, man. He's great. I just think that Ja and those guys will the Grizzlies to a win in this series. After the way the Timberwolves celebrated getting into the playoffs, you know, I think we're going to see him fall out in the first round.
Yeah, and one last bit here in the playoffs so far, of course, of course, the rest of the way. Western Conference. We mentioned the Eastern Conference favorites, as Owen mentioned, all of the favorites in each of the series in the lead so far and, you know, on the verge of taking the series. But is there any team in the West? You've got the Suns right now battling the Pelicans. You've got, of course, mentioned the Warriors, the Grizzlies as well. Is there a favorite out in the West right now, you know, to deep playoff run and or get to the finals and win it? I know personally, I think right now I'll go with the Suns. I think the Warriors, though, due to the injury of Devin Booker, I know that kind of hampers the Suns a little bit, but once they get him back, I think they're still the favorite. I think I'll go with the Suns right now. But the Warriors, I think, backup pick another the other team that I think could make a deep run.
Yeah, I could agree to that. I'm not as big into the West as I am the East because I'm far more Sixers and do more of that. But knowing the Warriors, the basics that I know, and I think that, like Jake said, the Suns with Devin Booker and his injury, but I just think that I don't know. It's going to be close. I'd go Warriors, like Cameron said, mentioned earlier. I think that with the talent they have on defense, and you can't deny Steph Curry's ability to shoot the ball, and the other younger players that are proving to be able to be offensive weapons as well, I think that the Warriors will pull it out.
Yeah, I think the Warriors definitely got to be considered as the favorite. Any more thoughts, guys, out in the West?
I mean, I'll just say the Suns are my favorites as well. Injury to D-Book, you know, that's tough. It's tough for them, tough for him. But if they can get through it, and I think they will. I mean, you know, the Pelicans got in, you know, as a from the ninth position, I believe. So I think that they'll be able to get through that series. And I think once Devin Booker gets back, you know, they were the best team in the regular season for a reason. I think they're the best team in the NBA, and so long as he's able to stay healthy, I believe that, honestly, it's the Suns' championship to lose this year. So,
Yeah, first round is almost over. Plenty of playoff basketball left to go. We'll keep you updated and filling in for Sam as the head of the first segment here. Over to Justin. We've got the NFL draft, probably going to be a couple days by the time this is released. NFL draft is coming. A lot of great young players on the board. Justin, take it away.
Thank you, Jacob. Now, as you guys know, every April, a few things have to happen. You know, it starts to get a little rainy. The allergies, they start coming out, but always...
Hate those allergies.
Every
Hate
time. Oh, yeah. Every time the NFL draft happens. And it's always exciting to see who the next stars or the next busts are going to be. But before that happens, they got to get drafted, right? So let's go through...
Well, that only makes sense, Justin. That only makes sense.
Of course, of course. So let's go through our top 10 list of draft picks. We're not going to do trades or anything. No predictions there. Just straight up 10 picks as they are now, and then an extra pick. So let's get started right away with the first overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars will select edge rusher Trayvon Walker out of Georgia. Listen, guys, they struggle a lot in a lot of areas, all right? They need improvement. And so I believe that they're going to take an edge rusher that could really help them get more pressure on the quarterback because, I mean, they need a lot. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. So might as well start here since they believe they have their guy on offense in Trevor Lawrence, you know, at the quarterback position. Might as well start on the opposite side of the ball and see what they can do with that.
Now, Justin, I
agree with
you
with the
edge.
Who has to tell him?
Wait. I agree with Justin's edge prediction. I think it's going to be Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan.
My boy, Peter. There we go. Let him know.
Aiden Hutchinson is easily probably the best edge rusher in the draft. So I would
and
say
that is exactly
easily,
why I have him going
easily
first
the first pick in the NFL draft.
No questions asked. You want a guy who can get to the ball. You want a guy who can be dominant on needing to build defense. You pick up Aiden Hutchinson. First round.
It's the Jaguars, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Hey, they got a Super Bowl winning coach in there now. Come on now, guys.
GM makes the call.
Yeah, I mean, hey, but he's in that draft room. He's talking with people.
You also have to see, like, Aiden Hutchinson complements Josh Allen very well in that defense. You know, you have two very good edge guys. Quarterbacks are going to have a little bit less time in the pocket now the next year, I think. It's going to be looking a little bit better for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not much better, just a little bit.
All around, other than Justin, are we agreeing on Aiden Hutchinson, the first
no,
first
I have
pick? Cam?
There you go, Cam.
Trayvon
there
Walker.
You go, Cam.
Right. Hey, stand out, Cam. What do you got? Yeah. What do you got?
No, I mean, I'm just agreeing with Justin said. I mean, that's all I can say.
Oh, okay. I mean, I know there's
Listen,
a.
I
know
did
there's
say
enough...
I did write down here. I wouldn't be surprised if Aiden Hutchinson goes first overall. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
hey,
all I'm saying.
Too.
I'm just saying it's these guys are very good, but you know, that's who I put first.
I was going to mention another name that it seems like might be falling down, but Kayvon Thibodeau. I think you can't mark him out too much as a possible first overall pick. They all play the same position. The Oregon standout defensive end played very well. We'll get to that. But he's also a guy and defensive lineman that could factor in there.
Well, Jacob, that's why I have him going number two to Detroit.
That's exactly
great segue,
right.
Joe. Perfect
great segue.
Joe taking the helm.
Wow.
Get on here more often, Joe. That's what I like to see.
All right.
For the second overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft, I also have an edge rusher. I have Aiden Hutchinson going. If he doesn't go first,
oh,
it'll be second,
goodness.
You know?
So
see,
have the
here's
same
the thing.
List right
now. Joey and I are in agreement again. I have him going as an edge from Oregon, second to the Lions. Let's see. The Lions need help. That's obvious.
Yeah, they kind of have the same predicament as Jacksonville. There's a lot
of
places
there's a
that
reason
they need
why
help
they're
in.
The number one and two in the draft. You know, it's just
any
help
they
can get
problems.
From anywhere will be good. But I think that they pick up the arguably second or third best edge rusher in this draft, and that's why I go with Thibodeau for second pick.
Owen, what are you thinking for the second pick?
Throwing a wild card out there. I'm stick with my guts. I've had this for a while. I'm taking Malik Willis at two overall. Raise your eyebrows, question me all you want.
That's very interesting considering you know, you still got Jared Goff. He's not the greatest, obviously, but still.
They have so many holes. The Lions have so many holes, but to get a franchise quarterback who has an insane amount of high upside, I mean, he's got a lot of downsides to him, but he's going to take some developing time. The Lions are a team that have that time to develop him, and they also have another first-round pick late on in the first round. I think it's the last pick of the first round. So they'll be able to grab another first-round talent as well to plug another hole, but Malik Willis will not be there at 32. Unless they want to trade down for him, they can do that. But I'm gonna go big or go home.
Yeah, I think second pick I'll go with Kayvon Thibodeau. I think, you know, but I honestly believe they could go different ways here. I know there's a lot of, you know, really good defense, offensive line prospects that if they wanted to, you know, go on the offensive side with an offensive lineman, maybe even trade back a few spots, or even as Owen mentioned, kind of move back, maybe back into the middle of the first round, maybe to, you know, maybe get more picks and get Willis. But I think that they stand true and get a playmaker on the defensive side in Kayvon Thibodeau, and use that other first round pick Owen mentioned maybe on an offensive playmaker to at least now help Jared Goff. But I got to go with Thibodeau.
I love my boy Thibodeau. You know, I'm an Oregon guy, Jake, but I don't have him going number two. I have Trayvon Walker, defensive lineman from Georgia, going number two. I just, with Thibodeau, you know, he was very high coming in, coming out of the college football season. A lot of people saw him as a top three pick. Then, you know, as the offseason kind of went on, his draft stock seemed to fall. Now it seems to be going back up. I don't know where to put him. That's why I don't put him at two mainly. Just based on, you know, it's really been up and down with him. And I think Trayvon Walker, his stock has risen significantly, I think, over the course of this offseason. And honestly, he was on that national championship winning Bulldogs team. And I think he'd be a great pickup for the Lions.
Yeah, all right. I think those are all pretty good. Well, let's move on then. Number three overall pick, 2022 NFL Draft. It's the Houston Texans. And I'm going to go with offensive tackle Evan Neal out of Alabama. Listen, when we often talk, this is the most complete team in the NFL, or this is one of the most complete. Well, the Houston Texans are the opposite spectrum of that. They are one of the most incomplete teams, if not the most incomplete team in the league. So pretty much anything they could do.
Not a Davis Mills believer, Justin?
Oh, my God.
Not a Davis Mills guy?
Not pretty much anything they could do at all, anybody. They could draft like a punter, and it would be better than what they got now. So I think that they're going to go offensive tackle just because they decided to shore up Laremy Tunsil at right tackle. So I thought, you know, maybe they're going to try and build up that line a little bit, get somebody on the opposite side to protect the blind side of whoever that quarterback ends up being.
See, it's interesting you say that because I'm actually going to go on the opposite side of the ball for the Texans' first pick. And I say they go backfield. I say they draft Kyle Hamilton, safety out of Notre Dame. I think that Kyle is a huge prospect, especially at safety. Notre Dame, you know, being Notre Dame football, they have had a decent team for a few years running now. And I think that, like Justin said, anywhere, like these first three teams, Texans, Lions, and Jags, most incomplete football teams in the NFL, anybody will help. However, I think that, although I'm not saying your pick is wrong, nor out of context, I think they could pick up anybody. I think that Kyle Hamilton's my pick. Personally, I think they go other side of the ball to start.
I would have to agree with Justin. I think they're going to go O-lineman here. I got Ike Ekwonu.
Yes, I have him. Yes.
Nice.
That's who I have going to Houston. I think every good team should start out with an O-line. If you don't have a good O-line, you're not going to have a good offense. Simple end of story.
Smoking from a true lineman right there.
Yeah.
Gotta represent. But looking at Ekwonu, out of NC State, I think he'd be a great help for a very, very struggling offensive line. I think he's the best O-lineman in the draft.
I agree with you, Joe. That's who I have to go into the Texans. I think they need to get that offensive line straight because that offensive line is
I'm in agreement about offensive line. I'm with Justin though. I've got Evan Neal.
Yeah, that a boy.
I think I'll, you know what, offensive line, except for Kyle Hamilton, the bold pick from Peter. I think I'll go with offensive line too. I'll go with Akem Ekwonu. I'll make it 3-2 in the offensive lineman. I'll go with Joe and Cam. But I think the consensus, other than Peter, we'll see it. Nate get the I guess in
Nate,
a second.
Tie it up,
maybe
tie it up,
maybe
Nate.
He might go with Kyle Hamilton too. But consensus right now is offensive lineman here. Nate, what are you thinking?
I'm going to throw a little bit of a wrench in this, honestly. I'm not going Kyle Hamilton. Whilst he is the best safety, I think, in this draft, I think injuries definitely hurt him. I'm going with who I believe is the best cornerback in this draft. I'm going Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati. As we said,
it's getting
they need
saucy
everything.
In Houston.
They need everything down there in Houston, all right? Because the team right now is just, you know, it's a mess. I think Sauce Gardner would be a great fit for the secondary, and I just think that he's the best cornerback in the draft, and I think that'd be a great fit for their secondary down there in Houston.
It's great picks all around. All right, number four, the New York Jets are going to select. I have edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon, of course, one of the best edge rushers in the draft. The Jets, another team that needs quite a bit, a little less than the teams that we've mentioned, but at the same time, they still have a lot of needs, so might as well shore up that edge and get some pressure on the quarterbacks.
See, it's interesting. The one man that most of you have mentioned for the last pick, Akeem Ekwonu, I have selected here. I say that he is selected at this point, if he's not already taken, to protect the young and prayerfully growing Zach Wilson. He now has the mentor of Joe Flacco on the Jets, who is experienced and who has had many years in the NFL under his belt.
So elite hopefully quarterback that mentorship, Joe Flacco from Phoenix.
Yeah. Hopefully that mentorship will do Zach Wilson some good, but I, like Joey said and mentioned, you need an O-line to be a good offense, to have any sort of offense. So that's why I say the young and growing Zach Wilson will get some help from Akeem Ekwonu. I know that's not a consensus because, you know, y'all mentioned him last pick, but that's who I have selected.
Hey, Peter, it's all individual, man. Love the pick. Love the pick. I love standing out.
You know, I have Kyle Hamilton from the, from the Jets, from Notre Dame. You know, I think they're going to go defensive side here because I know that Jets team, you know, they do need some key pieces, but I think, you know, with that secondary, they're going to add that piece and they're going to be maybe a little bit better this year. I don't know.
And
Hopefully they're a tough team.
Like the Bills fan with the little comment in there as well. Cam, I'm right in with you. The secondary. Nate has Sauce Gardner going to Houston. He's going to the Big Apple. That personality with the Jets, you know, personality aside, I think, of course, you look at the Jets. I think that they get a number one corner, a potential number one, you know, get the days of Darrell Revis. Possibly, you know, who knows if Sauce Gardner is going to, you know, get replicate that career. But I think they, you know, see those shades in Sauce Gardner, and I think they draft him up here at number four.
Sauce Gardner is going to be going to the Jets. You know, I think it's only fitting. I think, you know, selecting Zach Wilson last year, and keep in mind the Jets do have another pick here to come, so they could easily take an offensive player with that second pick. And this draft, as a whole, I think it's going to be especially for the first 10, are going to be very defensive. You take a look at a lot of very, very good defensive players in this draft. So I think they have to take one of them here with the fourth pick.
Back to back, I agree with Justin, Kayvon Thibodeau.
This guy, he made a good draft.
And I'm jumping on that as well.
I would say me and Joe are getting a good draft.
I also have Kayvon going to the Jets here. Like I said earlier, I think his draft stock fell a little bit and then it rose back up. And I think he slides in nicely here at four to the Jets. So that's where my boy Kayvon's going.
Let's get to the fifth overall pick. The other team in New Jersey / New York, the New York Giants, they're going to select the offensive lineman Ikem Ekwonu out of NC State. He's just a great guy. He's really good at this position. I think that they really just need to fill the need there. Their O-line has been a struggle for the past, what, two, three, four seasons now. So I think they, if they're going to stick with Daniel Jones, they're going to need to try and protect him, give him a chance to prove that he's their guy.
Now, I agree with Justin on the offensive line, but since I have Akeem going to the Jets, I say the other New Jersey, New York team selects Evan Neal from Alabama. Basically, for all the reasons that Justin said, other than because I have Akeem going before him, they need an offensive line. Saquon is constantly struggling in that backfield. Minus battling with obvious injuries, he doesn't get great yardage because he doesn't have time. You know, Daniel Jones, other than getting tackled by Casper the Ghost and when no one else is around, he has no time in the pocket, you know. I think that if they could fine-tune some things on the offensive line, maybe the Giants could get up and running a little bit more. So I'm saying build up the offensive line and go with Evan Neal from Alabama.
Yeah, I think I agree with it, Peter. I think Evan Neal is the pick here if I picked it. And Ekwonu, going a few picks higher, I think Evan Neal goes here. Giants need protection. But again, you know, you look, they need help in different areas as well. Wouldn't be surprised if they go defense here, but offensive line, they've had so many, you know, almost turnstile-esque in terms of the amount of offensive linemen they've drafted, haven't panned out, have some good young guys there, but I think adding Evan Neal would, but I do think that first pick, they should get one of those good offensive linemen.
With the Giants, you got to look at it as a team. You know, there's a lot of questions around a lot of positions. There's a lot of questions, you know, with Danny Dimes. Is he going to be the quarterback for their future? I'm going to end up to agree with most everybody here going O-lineman, Evan Neal. I do agree with that, but they still do have a concern with Danny Dimes in the backfield. You know, he might not be producing as well as they wanted or have hoped, so they could think about taking a QB there, but I think they stick with Danny Dimes and stick with Evan Neal, try to give him a little bit more protection, help him out a little bit, give him another year. Maybe this is the year that he hopefully pops off. I highly doubt it, but we'll see.
I'm an offensive line guy too for this pick. I picked Neal earlier, so I'm going with Ekwonu. I swear, Justin, I didn't do this
together. We didn't talk about this beforehand, yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of fishy.
I did it while we were talking about basketball. I'm sitting
great,
here.
Great minds think alike, you know?
Justin and Owen, I'm on the same mind track here with you guys. Ekwonu is the pick I got for the Giants. I think he's a great offensive tackle, and the Giants need all the help they can get on that O-line. And I think that, you know, they will draft him. I think they're going to stick with Daniel Jones this year. Get him some more protection on that O-line. See how that goes. You have to remember, we do have a pretty stacked quarterback draft class coming up. So, you know, you have to consider that as well.
So I think we're all on the O-line
train. I was going to say, Cam. Cam, are you on the O-line train?
Yes, I am on the O-line train. And you know who I have? Evan Neal. I have Evan Neal going.
Hey.
I think they need a lot of protection on that O-line because that O-line was pretty bad last season, and not giving Danny Dimes any time to throw the ball at all was pretty bad. If they can get more protection on that line. Now, I'm saying you have a rookie guy coming in the NFL, so I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to solve every one of their problems on that line because that O-line's pretty messed up. But I think in the you know, the long-term run, give that guy time to adapt to that team. You know, I think they could, you know, have potential maybe because Saquon is a good running back, and I think that offense has some talent.
Yeah, I'm loving the O-line train, guys. And you know what? I'm gonna stay on the O-line train for the next pick. Let's go. Number 6 overall pick in the NFL draft. The Carolina Panthers select offensive tackle Charles Cross out of Mississippi State. I think that, you know, the Panthers, like all these other teams, they've got problems all around, but I really think it starts with that O-line because, you know, you just got Sam Darnold last season. He got hurt, and so that's always your biggest concern when your quarterback gets hurt. I don't know if they're going to stick with him for the next few seasons, whatever, but as of right now, he's their guy, so they might as well try and protect him, you know? Give him that second chance that he's been trying to get.
Jacob, can you say your famous line?
That is where you are wrong, Justin. That is where you are wrong.
My pick for the Carolina Panthers, Kenny Pickett. you are failing with bringing Cam Newton back. That was terrible. That was just stupid.
Did I mention Cam Newton? That was media hype. Did I mention Cam Newton?
But Sam Darnold has never been the answer. He wasn't the answer for the Jets, and he's not the answer for the Panthers. You're bringing in Kenny Pickett, in my opinion, the best quarterback in this draft class, out of Pittsburgh. I say the Carolina Panthers selected the first and best quarterback in this draft class, Kenny Pickett.
Peter, you requested the catchphrase, but now I'm going to dish it back to you because that is where are wrong. Wrong quarterback. I'm going with Malik Willis, and Owen mentioned it to the Lions. They need a quarterback, not Kenny Pickett. I'm going with the playmaker, Malik Willis. I think he has the tools for Carolina. I think Matt Rule can get his hands on him in the offense. He can be a game changer with McCaffrey down there and Robbie Anderson and the wide receivers. Bring a dynamic quarterback play they haven't seen since Cam Newton to Carolina in that division. I'm going with Malik Willis.
I think all of you are forgetting that there is still another quarterback that can be traded for in Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield will be traded to the Panthers, so that is why the Panthers will be selecting Charles Cross out of Mississippi State.
Same wavelength here. As Justin and Joe, again as Justin, and this time as Joe, Charles Cross.
It's just 4.0 GPAs. Yeah. Just alike, you know?
Yeah. Quarterback wise, Malik Willis, Jacob, you know, I have him at 2 because the Lions have Jared Goff already, and he can develop for at least a year, maybe even 2 under him. Carolina, you know, you're not really developing under Sam Darnold.
Hey, he needs to develop with Matt Rule, not Sam.
Yeah,
Darn,
but
Sam
you can't. I don't think you can throw Malik Willis in day one as your starter. And Kenny Pickett, it's either Cross or Pickett for me. But I go Cross here because there is Baker Mayfield. There is Jimmy Garoppolo is also on the trade block, and the quarterback class next year is going to be pretty stacked too.
I think we're all talking about quarterback, and I agree. I think the Panthers are going to select a quarterback, and my take on it is that they're going to select Kenny Pickett.
Let's go, Cam!
And, you know, Kenny Pickett is the best quarterback coming in this draft class. Now, don't get me wrong, Malik Willis is a very phenomenal quarterback. He's very good. So they could go with Malik Willis, but, you know, Sam Darnold's not the future of the Panthers. Obviously, a rookie quarterback, you know, has a lot to prove coming into the league. I just think for the type of offensive play style that Panthers run, I think Kenny Pickett's more of like a guy for them. Then, you know, like you think of all the quarterbacks they had, you know, like Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, you know, those type of quarterbacks, you know, I just think Kenny Pickett's the right pick for them here.
Well, just to close this out, I do not have a quarterback going. I do believe that they will trade most likely for Baker Mayfield or stick, you know, unfortunately, with Sam Darnold and Cam Newton for this year. I have them going O-line. And since I had him slide in my mock draft, because of my few surprises earlier, I still have Evan Neal on the board. And if he is there, that is who Carolina will take. So for that reason, I have Evan Neal.
Well then, for the number 7 overall pick, the Giants, they're back. So you know what they're going to do. They went offensive tackle the first time for me. This time they're going defense. They're going cornerback, Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati. The first one taken in my mock draft. He is, as I said, the best. And with this blitz-heavy group, I think that's just the perfect corner to take. You know, the guy that can be on an island and really just win that battle. So that's who I'm going with.
Jake, I don't need you to say your catchphrase because, Justin, I'm on the same page with you, man. If Sauce Gardner is still on the table at this point in the draft, I say the Giants select him out of Cincy. He's a playmaker on the defensive side of the field, and he is arguably one of the best cornerbacks in this draft. And I say he's headed over to the Big Apple. Well, New Jersey, but you know.
I'm gonna stick in the secondary core, but I'm gonna go with a pick that Peter brought up a bit higher than maybe some of us would have thought. I'm going to go with Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame for the secondary. Giants have had, I think their cornerback play is fine right now. I know they have a few guys that they brought in via free agency that have played played solid. I think Kyle Hamilton is a great guy that can do it all, that can be in that back end, possibly a Landon Collins-esque. I know they had him before he moved on to go to Washington. I think he's kind of that do-it-all guy that they can get in addition to an offensive lineman, a playmaker on the defensive side, can run stop, can be in pass defense, running backs, wide receivers. I think he's a good pick for the Giants.
For the Giants, I have Trevon Walker out of Georgia going to the Giants. I think this is a team that needs defensive help. Maybe not so much in the cornerback as Jake's said previously, but Trevon Walker would greatly help out this defense. Again, get into the quarterback. Again, very defensive draft in my opinion, especially for this top 10 here. I think we got to keep it going with the edge rusher, Trevon Walker.
I'm with Joe again. I think for me, Trevon Walker's kind of shot up the board a little bit too quickly. Like, I know a couple people had him as number one or number two overall, but Aiden Hutchinson, he's been up there since day one. Trevon Walker was kind of like a mid-first round guy, and now all of a sudden, it's like he could go number one overall. So I think he falls just a tad because maybe some GMs don't have him as high up as people making these mock drafts and things like that. But yeah, they definitely need help on the defensive side after they addressed offensive tackle with number five overall.
Cam, Nate, what are you thinking with this pick?
You know, I actually have Gardner, corner from Cincy, going at this pick.
You go, Cam.
I agree, they do need help on the defensive side of things, and, you know, it's a bold pick. You know, they could go any. They need a lot of help on that defense, too. Just, we already said the Giants need help everywhere, you know. They did a lot of key pieces, but, you know, I just have Gardner here.
I'm also on the defensive side of the ball. You know, my thought process for the Giants going to this draft has remained the same. They're going to go O-line, and I think they're going to go D-line. That's why I have edge rusher Jermaine Johnson II out of Florida State going to the Giants. I think that, you know, they need to get pressure on the opposing team's quarterbacks, and I think, you know, Jermaine Johnson, he's a great edge rusher, and I think that he offers that for the Giants, so I have them taking him.
All right, then. For the eighth overall pick in the NFL draft, Atlanta Falcons up this time. I say they're going to select wide receiver Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. First playmaker taken in my draft. And it's just, I mean, they need a lot, but, you know, they really lacked in the receiver room last season. So I think that their first priority is going to be get somebody that can, you know, catch the ball and then, you know, kind of draft from there.
Yeah, Justin, I agree with that. Although I do agree with the wide receiver, I think they're going to go with Drake London out of USC. I don't know. It could go either way, whether it's Garrett Wilson or Drake London. Sorry. But like you said, they've been faltering under the receiver core for a while now, you know, especially with Matt Ryan's last season and as a Falcon. They're just faltering, giving Marcus Mariota, the returning Marcus Mariota, some targets, some people who can get off the line pretty quickly and make some pretty good plays. I agree with the wide receiver pick here, but I say Drake London.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the wide receiver, and I'm going to go with the one that Justin mentioned as well, out of Ohio State. Garrett Wilson, I think, of course, you've got the duo wide receivers from Ohio State in Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. You know, both could go real close to one another in the draft. I think Garrett Wilson, especially with the suspension of Calvin Ridley and that whole situation, and, you know, their weapons, they got Kyle Pitts last year. You know, up and down rookie season, but adding another weapon to, again, as Peter mentioned, Marcus Mariota for now, I think this is a good foundation on the offensive side moving forward.
I'm sticking wide receiver. Guy that has not been named yet, Jameson Williams. I think he's the best wide receiver in the draft, personally. Maybe right now at the minute he is not, because he's coming back from injury after tearing his ACL, but I think he has the most upside out of all these wide receivers. He's fast. He's a deep threat. And the Falcons have absolutely nobody at wide receiver right now. I mean, they've got Damir Bird, Auden Tate, Zacchaeus. Like, that's it. Calvin Ridley suspended, and he doesn't even want to be there. So he's going to be gone when he comes back to play. So they need somebody, and that somebody's Jameson Williams.
Yeah, we all talked about receiver. I do have a receiver here. I do have Garrett Wilson as a receiver going here, and you did bring up about the fact of a deep threat, and I also think he's a deep threat receiver. So I think with just the, you know, they're both very good receivers, but I think, you know, in my opinion, I think Garrett Wilson's the better receiver, and they're going to look in terms of draft stock. So I think they're going to go Garrett Wilson to the Falcons with having that deep threat, obviously. So
I'm going to go to the other side of the ball. I'm going to go with the cornerback Andrew Booth. Might be a little bit of a wrench in the draft pick here, but I think last year you picked Kyle Pitts. So, I mean, he is a pretty big target. He was a pretty big target last year for Matt Ryan. I think he'll continue to do that. I still think they do need a lot of help on the offensive side, but I think they need to help out their defense this year if they want to be on the right track.
You're really sticking to that defensive track there, Joe, aren't you?
I told you. Hey, it's a defensive draft, man. I told you.
Now, I'm on the other side of the ball, though, like most of these guys. Receiver, they definitely need to address that position. And I have Garrett Wilson going here as well. You know, the thing with Williams, you know, the injury, like you mentioned, Owen, that he's coming off of, I think that just hurts him here in this draft, hurts his position. So that's the main reason I decided to go Garrett Wilson ahead of him. But yeah, like you said, they're going to need a wide receiver number one going into this year. I know they have Kyle Pitts, tight end. He's a weapon, but they need a receiver. So I go Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, now number nine, we have the Seattle Seahawks. I think that they will select quarterback Malik Willis out of Liberty. Listen, I mean, the Seahawks, they made some pretty questionable decisions getting rid of some guys that, you know, we just didn't think they should or would get rid of. So I think that the first step to kind of remedying the situation, pick up a quarterback, somebody that can, you know, just lead this team in lieu of Russell Wilson. I know you can't replace Russell Wilson, but just somebody that can be there and fill that position need. I mean, if they don't draft a quarterback, honestly, I think that GM has lost his mind and that he needs to be removed effectively immediately, maybe even put into a psych ward or something.
The Seahawks GM is out of a job if they don't get a QB in Justin's mind.
So, well, I think the GM is losing his mind this season. I think the Hawks are going to pick another cornerback. They're going to pick the next best cornerback, Derek Stingley, at LSU.
I don't know. I'm going to hop on the other side of the ball. Although, I want to address something. I think that hopefully the Seahawks haven't completely lost their minds. I'm going to restore the GM a little bit. And I don't think this is very likely, but he may make a move for Jimmy G. Who knows? I doubt it. I agree with Justin. The Seahawks select Malik Willis, quarterback. I think you have to start somewhere, and getting someone who could throw the ball is a good start. So, you know, like Jake said, you can't replace Russell Wilson.
Nobody's got faith in Drew Lock.
No, definitely. I have zero faith in Drew Lock. Nate is an avid Broncos fan.
Good riddance. Drew Lock is not the answer. That's what he was.
And here's the thing. Drew Lock doesn't even have he has some NFL experience, but he doesn't have enough good experience to even mentor Malik Willis. Like he's I don't know. So pray for the Seahawks, but I really think that starting somewhere, the Seahawks will select Malik Willis just to give Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf some looks, just because they're, I'm sorry, Tyler and DK, your GM is off his marbles. He is out of his mind.
Well, I Lunch Hour Sports Podcast officially changing the Seattle Seahawks to the Seattle Seahawks. Gonna start that position petition right now. But I think the Seahawks, I think it mentioned you know, quarterback. I think that is definitely a possibility. I know Peter mentioned Jimmy G. I think it could be a spot for Baker Mayfield. Perhaps could they, you know, pluck up Baker and give him, you know, another set of good wide receivers to try and work with in Seattle. But I think, you know, they're gonna they're gonna ride the Drew Lock experience. I know Nate has ridden the Drew Lock experience as a Broncos fan. I think Seahawks fans at least a year with him. I'm gonna go with Charles Cross. I'm gonna go with an offensive lineman. You guys mentioned him earlier. I think Seattle has always had a problem with offensive linemen when Russell Wilson was there. I think new era actually maybe build a good offensive line.
I love the fact that we're calling them the Seahawks because it sounds like you're saying Seahawks in a Boston accent, you know, the Seahawks. And unfortunately for the Hawks, the Hawks GM here, he's getting fired per Justin. I'm going Sauce Gardner. They've got so many holes to fill, and I think Sauce is just the best player available there. And, you know, about time they start to rebuild the Legion of Boom. You know, no more Richard Sherman, no more Bobby Wagner. He was the last to go. No more Earl Thomas. Rebuild that. You know, they need offensive line help. They need quarterback help. They need a ton of things. They're not going to compete this year.
Struggling.
I think they're another team that's comfortable waiting till next year's quarterback class to go find something, which is why I don't have them taking a quarterback. But I have thought about it. But Sauce, best cornerback in the draft, best player available. Got him at 9.
Well, I said before, I think they're going to take a cornerback. Defensively, they're just not good. They're awful. I'm sorry. They're bad. Especially with the exit again, their best players in Bobby Wagner, and they just need some help on that defense.
It's great that you said that they need help on the defense, because my pick, actually, I am taking Jordan Davis for this Seattle Seahawks. You know, they're going to stick with Drew Lock, even though he may not be the greatest quarterback and has a crap ton more to improve. And, you know, just to fill in the gaps, I think they're just going to go with a player like Jordan Davis. So.
Well, I guess the Seahawks are losing their job then, according to everybody, you know, the GM.
Yeah, well, Justin, yeah, that GM. I got Malik Willis, buddy, so all don't right. have to worry. He's not losing his job on my watch. I just think that they're going to go quarterback on this occasion. Yeah. And I think Malik Willis, I mean, it's down to preference, but like Owen said earlier, I think he has the most upside of any quarterback in this draft. So that's why I think they'll go Malik Willis.
Moving on, the New York Jets at number 10. They're picking again in the top 10, just like the Giants. It's a New York draft, and they're going to go with wide receiver Jameson Williams out of Alabama. I think that up next for them, they got to choose somebody, a playmaker, really, to help Zach Wilson out. And I think it's going to be Jameson Williams because...
Playmaker. I get it, Justin. I get it. He's a playmaker. He's a stud wide receiver.
He is, although his stock has been dropped a little bit because of the injury to his ACL. I don't think that should deter anybody from picking him, though. I think that he is going to be very good, that WR1 potential. And that's what, you know, Zach Wilson needs, especially after Jameson Crowder, you know, went to a contender. So that's really what they need.
Yeah, I can agree to that. Wide receiver, maybe Jameson Williams. I also have mention of Garrett Wilson as well. Either one of those guys. I think giving Zach Wilson another target would be nice. And in hopefully what is a coming up and coming growing offense with young players, because Zach Wilson's only going into second year. I think that if first and foremost, like I said again in pick 4, they pick up a offensive lineman, just adding up to the stack here, picking up a wide receiver will be a smart move for the Jets, and hopefully they don't pull a Seahawks and pick someone stupid for their team.
We swear, we don't hate the Seahawks here. We don't.
There's no animosity here. His rocker.
I got Kyle Hamilton at 10, another defensive player, still best on my board. I think he's fallen a little bit, just a tad, just slipping a tad. That's how my board's fallen. But the Jets need some defensive help as well as offensive help. They need a lot. But as somebody said, they don't need as much as other teams earlier in the draft. But yeah, Kyle Hamilton, another really good player from Notre Dame.
I think I'm going to stay on the defensive side doing double defensive picks. I think they have some young wide receivers, Braxton Berrios and others, that I think could make a possible jump in a sophomore season with Zach Wilson at the helm. I'm going to go with Jermaine Johnson II. I think they add an edge rusher in my draft here. They get Sauce Gardner. So I think they're really solidifying that defensive side. got other picks on the other days as well, where they can address some offense. But I think, you know, getting some top talent on the defensive side, especially with that division that is really, it has some good young quarterbacks and really good offenses in there. They want to get that defense settled.
Yeah, I'm sticking on the defensive side of the ball as well, Jake. And like Owen, I have Kyle Hamilton going to the Jets as well. I think he slides a little in this draft. I think he has been, you know, in most mock drafts. And, you know, the Jets, Robert Saleh, defensive-minded coach, I think they, you know, are going to focus on that defense and try and build it up. And if Kyle Hamilton is there, which I believe he will be, I think that the Jets will take him with the 10th overall pick.
I think they're going to give offensive side some help, and they're going to really need some... No, they do have really good young receivers, too, like Jake said, so I do agree with that. But I think they're going to try to give Zach Wilson some more help. So I think with this pick, they're going to take Drake London.
All right, then. So with the top 10 out of the way, it's time to move on to our team of choice. For me, I'm going to jump up to pick number 25. You guys knew it was coming. The Buffalo Bills in this draft, I think they're going to select cornerback Trent McDuffie out of Washington. I mean, the Bills, they need a corner now with Levi Wallace exiting the facility. That was a position of need probably before that anyway. So I think that that's going to be pretty much where they go first, and then maybe in the later rounds to address the running back room as well.
So, Justin, it's funny you mentioned cornerback, but I know a team who's in need of a cornerback who was before your Buffalo Bills. And I say the Philadelphia Eagles with the 15th pick in the NFL draft select. Now, I have a slash mark between my two guys because I think they could pick either of them. I have either Derek Stingley Jr. out of LSU or Trent McDuffie. The Eagles defense needs to build up a little bit. That's where they primarily faltered last year. Though the Eagle, and I said this last year, and for some grace of God, Howie Roseman might have heard my voice. Don't mess this draft up. I said it last year. They traded up for Devonta Smith. I was so psyched when I heard that, when I watched the pick. Howie, don't mess this up. Pick up a cornerback. You don't need another wide receiver. You don't. Like, okay, get Jalen Reagor out of the picture. Okay, even if he is or isn't, we have Devonta Smith going into year two. I think he's going to make major strides. Zach Pascal coming in the Eagles from the Colts. Decent route runner from the Colts, in my opinion. I think he'll provide with Jalen Hurts with some pretty good routes and also provide a lot of separation. So that's why I say jump to the defensive side of the ball. Give Darius Slay and those guys some help. I either go with Derek Stingley or I go with Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I think I'll stay right here with the Eagles. Peter, I definitely agree, especially with Steven Nelson going to the Texans. That QB2 role is up for grabs. I'm going to the offensive side. I'm going to a playmaker. It seems so repetitive. Eagles fans like ourselves drafting a wide receiver in the first round. You've got Devonta Smith, you know, looks like a you know, bona fide could be potential Pro Bowl type of wide receiver, and you've got some ones where we're scratching our head, Jalen Reagor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, to name a few. But I think with the whole mindset, I know Owen mentioned Jameson Williams higher up in the draft, name could be falling here. I think he's a guy pairing Alabama wide receivers with each other, with the former Alabama quarterback, the Alabama Eagles in Philadelphia. I'm going to go with Jameson Williams, pairing him alongside Devonta Smith as a deep threat in complement.
Yeah, that's interesting because you mentioned JJ, but I heard that JJ Arcega-Whiteside might be trying to go to tight end now.
Hey, the draft so pick, he was drafted in the same spot. Tight end receiver. You know, he's a pass catcher, man. Nonetheless.
If you're going to draft a receiver, though, Howie, draft Jameson Williams if he's still available. But if there's no standout wide receivers, like in the Eagles tradition, move on the other side of the ball. Pick up the cornerback. Make a good move, Howie. I believe in you.
I'll just go three straight Eagles here. There's going to be a big asterisk next to both my picks at 15 and 18. because I would love to trade one of these picks for either Deebo Samuel or AJ Brown, and that would that would eliminate me taking Garrett Wilson at 15. So Garrett Wilson at 15 for me, and then Trent McDuffie at 18. They need to grab a corner in this draft because really right now you only have Darius Slay and Avante Maddox. Need a lot of secondary help. Could use a safety. I still think they go sign Tyrann Mathieu.
Tyrann Mathieu, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, but if they don't end up trading, if they stay at 15 and 18, Garrett Wilson and Trent McDuffie.
Joey, I know you and Cam with the Steelers.
You know, there's a lot of talk about the Steelers here. They're most like, I know we're not doing trade-ups, but that is the most likely option for the Steelers. They are probably going to trade up in the draft. Don't know where, don't know when, but they need a quarterback bad, you know. You know, I got representing Ben Roethlisberger in the back here, number 7.
Absolutely disgusting jersey. Please take that.
Nate's favorite jersey, as you can see.
No, needs to be burned.
I like it, Joe.
They're going to trade up for either Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett. But if we're not, if I'm sticking true to the rules, if there are no trade-ups, then they're going to have to draft an O-lineman, who's ever available.
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Joe. That is actually what I was going to say. That O-line was god-awful. Najee could not do crap last season. They just could not block to save their life. They couldn't do any... Like, the offense was just... I don't even know how to describe it. It was just... But, yeah, I think there's a lot of talks about a trade-up. I mean, they do need a quarterback. I really hope if they don't get a quarterback, they go offensive line. Whoever they go with,
You're not going to give Mitch Trubisky the benefit of the doubt?
MVP.
No, I got to tell you, he was good in Buffalo. He's really good at handling the ball.
I think he has potential, but I think getting a new quarterback has even more potential, and I think would only help us.
Yeah, I don't think Mitch Trubisky's your final answer, because the Steelers drafted Ben Roethlisberger, and they kind of brought him up into Pittsburgh to
They've always had a quarterback drafted.
We'll have to see what the Steelers do then.
Yeah, I'm just Pickett. I think, you know, Pitt guy, keep him in Pittsburgh. I think he's, you know, the dream guy. Whether you trade for him or he somehow slides down, I don't know if that'll be the case, but
I also really wanted to talk about the Chiefs because they have two picks back-to-back. Very interesting. I think they had a very interesting offseason as well with the exit of their best wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, one of the best wide receivers in the league. So with the exit of Tyreek Hill, with this draft, I think you can maybe not easily replace him, but replace him to some extent. I think with the 29th pick in the draft, they picked one of the best wide receivers in the draft class, Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. Had to go with our boy out of Penn State. Needed to talk about him. Some of the best hands. Very good deep threat. Compliments Juju Smith-Schuster. One of the biggest clowns. I mean, players in the league. I think
TikTok dances.
Yeah, I think they would complement each other a lot better. I think Jahan Dotson can recreate the deep threat that Tyreek Hill was able to do in past year, because I've seen him in person. Looks amazing with the deep balls. They don't call him Jahans for no reason.
That's all I gotta say. I like that he's going in the first round, but I hope it's not to the Chiefs. That's all I'm saying. I want to root for the guy, if you know what I'm saying.
Perfect spot for him. That's all I'm saying.
Love me, Miss Penn State. I'm sticking with that theme for my Denver Broncos. Our first pick in this draft, which doesn't come till number 64 in the second round, I'm going with Brandon Smith, linebacker out of Penn State. You know, the guy was a beast for us in the defense of unit last year. And I think that, honestly, he'd be a steal that late in the draft. And, you know, I really hope that it works out. He falls. The Broncos, we got our offense shored up, making tweaks and improvements to that defense. And I think, you know, getting a young linebacker like Brandon Smith, who could really, you know, come in, fill a role for, you know, years to come would be a great move. And he's just a great player all around. So, yeah, I'll go Brandon Smith to my Broncos at 64.
Well,
draft is few days away. Of course, depending on when the editor, Justin, is releasing the episode, but going to be exciting nonetheless. As Peter mentioned, you know, it could go any different direction, an assortment of different directions and different picks with the different needs for the team. We will definitely keep an eye and update you on where some of these guys go moving forward. Well, our final topic of today's episode, the Premier League across the pond is wrapping up. We're going from football to football. Across the pond, the Premier League, we've got some teams wrapping up the season. Arsenal, Liverpool, we got the two fans here, Owen and Nate. Southampton guy over here living through bandwagon Southampton, living through the rebuild. Guys, what are your thoughts as the season is wrapping up?
I gotta give you credit, Smeds, for riding with the Southampton bandwagon as they sit in 13th of 20 teams. real bandwagon.
Next year, coming around.
I'm an Arsenal fan, so I think it was Nate who said he felt bad for me because I go through a lot of pain. This is just what I like to do.
Philadelphia sports and Arsenal, man. That's
they don't mix well. I have experience with that, but. Yeah, I mean, I think the title race between Man City and Liverpool, as they're one point between the teams. I know Nate said he's a Liverpool fan. I hope Liverpool pull it off because Man City, you know, and their all their oil money, they don't need to win the league again. And I just think Liverpool are the better team. As far as Arsenal, Tottenham, battle of fourth through fifth, or fourth and fifth. Who gets that Champions League spot? I've played so many scenarios in my head. Who's going to get fourth and who's going to get fifth? And obviously, I want Arsenal to get fourth. I've even played through scenarios where they can get third, but I just it's unhealthy for me. So I think I'm just going to let everything ride out and see how things pan out. I mean, I woke up at 7:30 to watch Arsenal yesterday morning. I'm committed. I'm committed. They drew me back in after they beat Chelsea on Wednesday, and I only watched the last 20 minutes of the game. I told myself I'm not going to watch. But then they just dragged me in. It's like every team I root for. They want you to believe again, and then they let you down. So I'm not going to get my hope.
It's the false sense of hope that wakes
us up. Yeah, I'm not getting my hopes up here. But on one hand, I am.
I mean, it's certainly coming down to the wire. You know, as a Liverpool supporter myself, I've seen this story before. City and Liverpool, top two teams, head and shoulders above the rest of the league. I mean, I don't think it's anywhere close. I think it's easy to say that Liverpool and City are the two best teams in the world at the moment. And we could very well see each other in the Champions League final this year. But, you know, I'm really pulling for Liverpool. We're down a point. We've been playing well. We got a big win today over Everton in a fiery derby. And, you know, I'm just hoping that Man City has a slip-up. I know it's a rare occurrence, but, you know, some of the teams I have left to play, Burnley, you know, relegation battle teams, you know, teams that want to stay in the Premier League, don't want to go down to the Championship. So I like where our Liverpool team is right now. I like the spirit they have. I like the way they've been playing. Our attacking options are just off the chart. I see us winning every game, and I'm just hoping for a City slip-up. And as it pertains to your Arsenal, you know, I watched that Chelsea game. They looked pretty damn good. I'm not going to lie. They're playing better recently. I don't know how they go from drawing and losing the previous games against the opponents they did to winning at Chelsea. To Southampton and then going and beating Chelsea at Stamford Bridge and then beating Man United, yesterday, which isn't really saying much. Let's be honest, Man United are in the bins this year, but I think overall that fourth place may come down to that Tottenham Arsenal matchup in early May coming up here in a couple weeks. I think winner of that could give them the momentum to go into the last couple of games of the season to pull out that fourth spot. So we'll see, but it's exciting to say the least.
There we go. That should do it for today's episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. If you want more Owen Boyle, he is the assistant sports
sports director of WHIP. He has radio shows throughout the week. Does great work over there. Catch him over there if you want more sports content. Thank you, Anchor, for sponsoring this episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. And thank you for listening. You can catch future episodes on YouTube and Spotify. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast.